Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Two Dudes Doing Trivia. I'm Daniel.
And I'm Will.
What have we got this week? We are coming back to our This Isn't Our That's, our favorite type of way to play. Last week, you heard from me about a Lady Gaga album called Chromatica, and you heard about a 80s band called Dead or Alive. And so this week, we'll get to choose between Art Pop and Soft Cell, which were linked with those two categories, and two mystery categories yet to be learned. And give us the recap from last week for me.
Yeah, I gave you the option on Surf and Turf. So you answered five questions on the Surf. You'll be getting a choice of the Turf or Sweet and Sour we did last week, and you chose Sweet. So you have Turf and Sour remaining. Those are your these. And then I have two mystery categories for your those.
Okay, excellent. So I think I asked last time, so why don't you hit me with... Let's go Turf.
You have five questions incoming on the Turf. Question the first. Developed by Monsanto and originally called Chemgrass, AstroTurf was first widely recognized for its use in what city?
Oh. Interesting. Albuquerque?
It is not. It is Houston.
Oh, shoot.
Although astroturfing, as a term for hiding the sponsors of a message or organization, only dates back to 1985. The term dates back to 1985. There is a Shakespearean example of astroturfing, or what would later become known as astroturfing, when Gaius Cassius Longinus wrote troves of fake letters from the public, I'm using air quotes for our listeners, calling for whose execution?
Ooh. This is a Shakespeare related?
It is a Shakespeare. Gaius Cassius Longinus is a character in Shakespeare. He astroturfs.
Julius Caesar.
Julius Caesar is correct. Yes. A2, Daniel. All right, number three. While researching for the turf category, I learned that there are a ton of types of grass. What type of long ornamental grass is often found on golf courses in the rough areas of the course? These grasses are typically very long and very difficult to find your ball in, let alone hit a successful shot out of. Common species of this type of grass are slender creeping red, strong creeping red, and chewings. What is this type of grass that you often find on a golf course?
It's just called long grass?
This is called fescue.
Oh, okay. Nice.
The relationships from these questions to turf are getting more dubious by the question. All right, number four. The band Faith No More had somewhat of a revolving door of singers, including a brief stint with what woman in 1982 before they turfed her out of the band, claiming they needed a more male energy. She went on to gain huge stardom and fame as the lead singer for Hole.
Oh boy, what's that woman's name? Courtney, shoot. Courtney Arquette. I can't remember.
Courtney Arquette. It is not. It is Courtney Love.
Courtney Love. Oh, crushing
famously,
me here.
Kurt Cobain's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, one of the most famous turf wars dates back as far as the 70s in Southern California. What are the two names of these two main rival street gangs in this area that have a long-standing bitter rivalry?
Bloods and Crips.
It is the Bloods and the Crips. Woo. Well done. So that is your five questions. You've got yourself a Julius Caesar and a Bloods and a Crips, and that'll get you... two, and you got a half point for Courtney if you want it, because you absolutely knew that answer, just couldn't scrape it out of the back. Yeah, Houston, it's called AstroTurf because it was put into the Houston Astrodome.
Oh, that makes sense. Play. Oh my gosh.
AstroTurf, a bit more of a easier to market product than Chemgrass. but yeah, leave it to Monsanto to give you that name. Fescue, I think fescue, I'm not sure how obscure that question really is, just because I do play golf and I hit my ball into the fescue more often than not. So it just happens all the time.
Can you spell that out for people who want to look that up?
That'll be an F-E-S-C-U-E, fescue.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I definitely thought it was an F-E-S-Q-U-I-E-U-E-U, one of those situations.
Fescue.
you know, like Q and all the redundant letters in Q. I thought it was one of those.
Okay. Yes. Well, the word Q in the English language is actually just one letter and then the vowels line up in a Q behind it. And with that, we can move on with your 2 to 2.5, depending on extenuating circumstances.
Depends on the outcome of the game. Yeah. All right. Over to you to hear about Art Pop, the Lady Gaga album, or a soft sell, the late 80s, early 90s pop kind of electronica new wave band.
I'll go with Art Pop.
Excellent. That will save soft sell for another week. Here we go. 5 questions on Art Pop. Question 1. Fill in the blank. In the song Applause from this album, Lady Gaga says, "One second, I'm a blank fan. Suddenly the blank is me. Pop culture was an art, now art's in pop culture in me. What artist's name fills in that blank? He is known for sculptures of balloon animals in stainless steel with mirror finish surfaces."
I can picture these sculptures. And I don't know the song, if I'm honest. One day, you're the... I just feel like I should know it and I don't here. I really don't have it. One day you're the Warhol.
One second, I'm a Koons fan. Jeff Koons.
Okay. Yeah, there's definitely a YouTube video out there I've watched.
Question 2. What planet is a subject of another track from this album? This planet is the 3rd brightest object in Earth's sky after the moon and the sun.
I'm going to have to go with Venus.
That's right, Venus. Question 3. The cover art for Art Pop, which is the name of this album, features a background made up of parts of the 15th century painting The Birth of Venus. By what artist?
Botticelli.
You got that one. And question 4. Name this thing. What is the name of tension cables designed to add stability to freestanding structures such as ship's masts, radio masts, wind turbines, utility poles?
A guy wire?
Nice one. And final question in this round. Apparently, the massive global attention to the jungle dress worn by Jennifer Lopez at the 2000 Grammy Awards was a reason that Google Images was developed. What fashion house was behind the jungle dress? The founder of the house, Johnny, was murdered by Andrew Kunanen in 1997.
Is that Versace?
It is Versace.
Oh, nice. Look at me. One. These categories are a bit out of my typical bailiwick, but
exactly.
I like that.
Yeah, so like circling back to a couple of these. So yeah, 1 second, I'm a Koons fan. Suddenly the Koons is me. Jeff Koons making the big balloon dog sculptures in various colors with the mirror finishes. He also ran into some legal trouble. He did, I don't know if they were out of porcelain or also out of steel, a series called Banality. And all of the subjects looked much like things that are copyrighted, like your Mickey Mouse's and your Disney characters and other stuff. And tons of legal trouble there. Venus, 3rd brightest object in the Earth's sky because it's so close. Mm-hmm. Kind of, that would help.
That does help, yeah.
Sandro Botticelli, who painted The Birth of Venus, he also painted Primavera. And he only signed one of his works called The Mystical Nativity. I don't know what it's about. Well, I know it's about the nativity scene, but yeah, it's the only one he's ever signed, which is kind of cool. The guidelines, yeah, GUI is a song on the album, obviously. Guidelines, guy wires, all that's good. And I will just, kind of focus a bit more on this jungle dress thing. So apparently Google just kind of came out and said if there were so many people looking for the jungle dress as a search query in Google that there was nothing that they could return that would satisfy like what that query is asking for. So they developed an image search. They weren't searching jungle dress. They were searching Jennifer Lopez green dress. And they had that so many times and they realized they couldn't correctly, you know, respond to that. They developed Google Images. How cool is that?
That's super interesting. I maybe not obviously, but I do not know the dress in question. So I'm going to do just exactly that right now.
And Jennifer Lopez green dress. Jennifer
Lopez green dress. Of all of the awards ceremony dresses that I've ever seen, that's definitely one of them.
And jungle dress is an appropriate title for that, you know? That was a long time ago, Google Images.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine an internet without it, if I'm honest, so.
All right, that leaves you at 4 to 5 in Art Pop, and that means we're leaving Soft Sell for another week.
That's right. All right, I take a small lead of 1.5 points to round 2. And you are going to leave Sour for another week, right. I believe. That's the five questions you've deferred here. So I've got two categories that I have written, and you can choose this or that. It's going to be fish or chips.
Ooh, we're going to go with fish. You know me.
I do know you, which is even funnier because when we record the next one, I have a question that says, I know you. All right, five questions on fish. Here we go. And we're starting with another of Daniel's favorite things. As far as I am aware, starting a trivia question with that, there's only one team in the Big Four sports in North America that would be taxonomically classified as a fish. What team?
Oh boy, so I don't know the geographic name, but I will submit for consideration the Marlins.
The currently named Miami Marlins is correct. Nice one.
Didn't know if it was Florida or Miami. Nice.
They used to be the Florida Marlins. They are now the Miami Marlins. I guess we can come back to that later, but very impressed that you got there with such rapidity. Oh, and of course, just as we say that, I remember that there is a hockey team called the San Jose Sharks. So yeah, I would have accepted that answer as well. But I'm just really happy you got to Marlins as fast as you did. So yeah, there's at least two. Number two, the name of what jellyfish comes from its resemblance to a Portuguese ship used for warfare between the 16th and 19th centuries.
Man of war.
Is a Portuguese man of war. Yeah, you do like fish. That's for sure.
At least so far.
Question three. Mud skippers are thought to be the only fish that can do what? Leading scientists to believe that they are an important evolutionary step in life's transition from aquatic to terrestrial, as very, very, very many land animals do this behavior. For humans, the average is thought to be around 14 to 19,000 times per day.
Step on land?
They blink.
They blink?
The only fish with eyelids.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Question four. The British comedy trivia panel show QI spawned a podcast as written by their trivia elves, where they each bring their four favorite facts of the week to the table and have a funny discussion about them. What's the name of this podcast?
The Trivia Elves is a wonderful title. No Such Thing as a Fish.
It is No Such Thing as a Fish, my second favorite podcast behind Two Dudes. And number five, what fish, named for their large dorsal appendage, is the fastest recorded marine animal clocked at speeds as high as 70 miles per hour?
Ooh, their dorsal appendage?
Mm-hmm.
Great white shark?
This is a sailfish.
Oh, okay.
Sailfish, that's really fast. That is a super fast speed to be going in the water. Yeah, so that's three Miami Marlins, man of war. No Such Thing as a Fish. 3 out of 5. Yeah, Miami Marlins. I don't think I would have got that question as fast as you just did, if I'm completely honest.
You know why? I think a few seasons ago we talked about what I thought were the Miami Merlins, I think. And then you kind of informed me that they're the Miami Marlins, and just always top of mind since.
Yeah, that's good. There's I had to phrase it specifically as taxonomically classified as a fish because there are other marine animals like the Miami Dolphins, but dolphins, of course, are marine mammals. Seattle Mariners, those are salty folks on the sea, but not exactly a fish. But yeah, Miami Marlins.
Excellent.
I had to search Portuguese man of war because I did not know what the ship looked like, nor did I know what the jellyfish looked like. But now I know what both of those things look like. And
well, that's awesome.
I can't say that one resembles the other, if I'm honest. yeah, and that's good. No Such Thing as a Fish. Excellent podcast.
Yeah, I would recommend it. Hey, Dad, if you're listening, I'd recommend that one to you. It's pretty interesting. It's fun.
Funny, interesting, informative. Mm-hmm. It's all the things that I strive to be on this one. All right. 3 out of 5, 5.5 out of 10, I believe that gives you.
Yeah, I'm definitely an armchair ichthyologist. Oh. And I must say that I just wanted to rescind my great white shark guess, because I knew that a mako shark is faster than a great white, but I just couldn't picture what the dorsal fin of, like, a mako shark dorsal fin just looks like any other dorsal fin. So all that to say,
did you look at to see what a sailfish looks like?
No, I didn't actually. Yeah.
They have a quite the impressive dorsal appendage.
Now that is a dorsal appendage.
Yes, they're sort of related to a swordfish. They've got the long hunting beaks on them. And if you got that thing swimming 70 miles an hour after you, I don't think there's any recourse.
No, I think that generates quite a lot of momentum. Because they might even be able to take some amount of flight, you know?
They'd sail.
Kind of Christopher Cross style. Christopher Cross style. Okay, cool. Thank you for that. Your turn again. Close out the episode. We have two choices. 5 questions each. If you please pick between SOS and Guts.
I'm going to choose Guts.
I knew you would.
Being the Olivia Rodrigo fan that I am.
We have 5 questions on the category of Guts starting now. Guts is the second studio album produced by Dan Nigro with Olivia Rodrigo. What was the first?
Sour.
Yep, quite easy, and it's the name of one of your categories coming up in the future.
Ironically, you didn't want to answer questions on Sour.
Question 2. Speaking of Guts, what word is used to describe the body's internal organs, especially those of the abdomen? In its adjective form, this word is often used to describe something felt very deeply.
I believe that is visceral, or viscera.
Yeah, viscera, visceral, you got it. Question 3. The Vampire is a short work that is often cited as the first work of romantic, vampiric prose. It was written as part of an 1816 contest that produced what other novel, subtitled The Modern Prometheus?
The Modern Prometheus is the subtitle of Frankenstein.
Nice one. 3 for 3, let's go for 4. Rodrigo sings, I want to get him back. I want to make him really jealous. I want to make him feel sad. What other singers sang in 2014, You're Too Sexy Beautiful, and Everybody Want a Taste, That's Why I Still Get Jealous, in a song that demands a 2.5 octave range?
Wow. I don't know. Biebs.
This is Nick Jonas.
Oh, okay.
And finally, Rodrigo sings, Seeing you tonight, it's a bad idea, right? Another bad idea is ingesting glow-in-the-dark paint, as many small-town New Jersey women did in the first quarter of the 20th century. What radioactive element, with atomic number 88, made glow-in-the-dark paint glow?
88, eh? I feel like uranium is like 90 or 91. I'm gonna go with thorium.
This one is radium.
Oh, radium, okay.
Closing it out with 3 out of 2. Or 3 out of 5, sorry. Let's chat a little bit about this. I'll start with the Nick Jonas song. Rodrigo sings about jealousy. 2014, Nick Jonas is also singing, You're too sexy, beautiful. That's why. And then I don't have this 2.5 octave range. I still get jealous.
You know that song.
You know that song.
I actually don't.
But I will put it to I'll put it to the listeners. So I wrote 2.5 octave range. It's written as between A3 and D5, which is the scientific pitch notation. So listeners, if that means anything to you, feel free to email me at 2ddtdaniel@gmail.com. Let me know if that is what a 2.5 octave range is. Pretty sure I got it, but just you can let me know. I'm open to it.
I mean, isn't an octave just 8 whole tones?
Yeah, but in scientific notation, like 8, because I said A3 to D5, so A3 is like the third audible octave of the letter of the pitch A, okay. And then it would go to like A4, and then it'd be A5, and then all the way up to D5. So I think I'm pretty sure I'm right, but email's there, just let me know. The Vampire, or the Vampire, maybe is how you're supposed to pronounce that. Vampire is obviously a track on Guts, for those who don't know. During the Year Without Summer of 1815, Mount Tambora had erupted, and then there was no summer. It was like winter all year long. Mary Shelley, who wrote Frankenstein, obviously, and a few others were stuck indoors while they were visiting their friend Lord Byron. Lord Byron said, well, why don't we just try to write the best ghost story ever? And Paula Dory wrote The Vampire, or The Vampire. Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein when she was just like 18 years old. And that was her, like, she ended up winning this little contest they had, and then she ended up publishing this novel.
Yeah.
And then she also, like, was there with her future husband, Percy Shelley.
And more than 100 years later, I had to read it in high school. So she must have done something right.
And I'll finally, I just want to tell you a little, like, miniature horror story. So Radium, have you heard of the Radium Girls?
Maybe, but enlighten us.
So it's, again, a bit of a horror story situation, so feel free to just shut off the podcast now. So in the first quarter of the 20th century, so it was like 19, let's say 17 to 30 or something like that, a bunch of girls, like young women, in a factory in New Jersey, they were painting glow-in-the-dark watch faces for the army. And for each watch face they painted, they made the equivalent of today's 27 cents. So a lot of them were like working quite fast to try to make as much money as possible. They were painting with glow-in-the-dark paint, and it was glow-in-the-dark because of radium. Their employer told them that to get the finest point on the brush, they should paint a couple strokes, then put the brush in their mouth and lick it to make the finest point to be able to like make the clearest like numbers on the watch face or whatever. Anyways, long story short, all their teeth fell out and they all died. And I'll just add, before they knew what was going on, before the relationship was discovered between the teeth falling out and the radium ingestion, for fun, these girls were painting their faces, their nails, their teeth, because it was all glow in the dark. It was all happy fun time in the, 1920. So now we know, don't eat radium.
I will take that to heart.
Yeah, exactly. And I did read, I don't know if this is true, but apparently if you go to the Radium Girls' graves, if you take a Geiger counter, it still goes like berserk because of how much like radiation they had like ingested and are now radiating outward. I don't really know how that works, but yeah, that is a story.
Yeah, I mean, an occupational health and safety disaster, for sure.
You're telling me, yeah, there's definitely like some sort of class action. I just, what am I going to talk about this for the next like 30 minutes? No, people got lives too.
No, I know, but for those that don't know, you've been known to be called Safety Dan. So
that's true. That's true. So yeah, the occupational health and safety obviously speaks right to my like personal interests.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening once again. If you have anything that you want to tell us about our show or any comments or questions or anything of the sort, you know where to find us. That's 2ddtpodcast@gmail.com. That's 2.
The number 2.
ddtpodcast@gmail.com. See you next time.
Bye.